In the iconic game of Super Smash Bros., there is a key principle. If you want to win consistently, you have to be willing to adjust the way that you play.
Hmm.
Let's say you've picked your character, your main, as they call it.
Yeah.
You learn all their move sets. You find your own play style, the way that you effectively take down your enemy with those move sets.
Okay.
But then you face somebody, someone who is on your level, or even maybe a little better, and they're stopping you. You know, you normally do your side special in order to knock somebody, get some damage, and get them to the side of the stage. They have a reflection ability, and they shoot it right back at you.
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden, your play style is irrelevant at this point.
That's
true. It's going to lead to more harm than good. And so you have two options here. You can lose, or you can change it up.
I lose. That's what I do when I play Super Smash.
Well, you haven't even gotten the first part down of picking a main.
I mean, let's be real here. I don't play enough to know anything.
But you can either lose the game in that moment, or you can change your game.
Yeah.
Mm. And so life is a lot of times the same way. We have to make adjustments, even if we aren't doing anything wrong. Even if we found a lane that was good at one point, at some point it becomes irrelevant, and we have to be able to switch it up. We're going to talk about how to do that today on the show.
This is the Thriving Man Podcast with David and Reese Maxwell. These weekly shows are designed to help you remove the confusion from your life and make real progress with your growth. No matter where you are or where you're going, we're here to help you live a life you can be proud of. So welcome to the Thriving Man Podcast.
Welcome to the Thriving Man Podcast, where our goal is to help you get out of survival mode and into living an incredible life. I'm Reese.
And I'm David.
And we today are talking about the subject of basically being able to make micro adjustments.
Yeah.
Of being able to switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
Of being scrappy in the way that you approach life, shall like we that. Say.
Scrappy. The one character of Scooby-Doo that nobody really liked that well.
Yeah. I don't know
who that is. Yeah, you don't know who it is.
But that's okay. That's such a deep reference. Some people in the audience, I'm sure,
that's right,
will appreciate it.
The Scooby fans will love it.
Yeah. We've all heard the question as kids, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yep.
And the answers varied. You know, some people said the president. Mm-hmm. Some people say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. Today, they would say, I want to be a TikTok influencer.
That's true.
Lord help us.
Very sad.
Yeah, yeah. But like for me, in kindergarten, I said I was going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
As an adult, I would not want to be a doctor. I see their schedules. I see their job. Both seem terrible.
Yeah.
So clearly something had to change. No one's life goes according to their first initial plan. It just doesn't happen. And even when people tell you, like, we've got a big culture of setting goals, you know, like, picture yourself in 5 years.
Yeah.
What does you in 10 years look like?
Yeah.
Those are good exercises.
Yeah, they are.
But they're not the full picture because we get almost this sense of perfectionism. Like, oh, well, I've got to meet that goal in every single aspect. And if I don't, I'm a worthless failure.
Well, and that's the whole thing about goals is sometimes people get into them and they think, well, if I don't meet all the goal, I'm a failure. When it's really about the goal is just a way to get you moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. It's easier to adjust when you're moving. And so goals, I think, are good. Not so much that whether you reach the goal or not, it's getting you moving in a direction. It's getting you thinking even. Because some people, like we talk about all the time, are just surviving. I want to get to Friday. I want to get to the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a goal helps you kind of lift up above that. It's kind of like when you're on a plane, you can see down and see things a whole lot better. That's what goals do. But if you don't make the goal, the point is that you get above in your thinking.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, goals are good, and it's not bad to reach a goal.
No,
you know, you want to set goals that you actually plan on reaching. If you don't plan on reaching it, then it kind of defeats the point.
Yeah.
But we do want to observe the fact that adjusting your life is a part of life.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, change is the only consistent thing in life.
Yeah.
Things are changing. You are changing. People around you are changing. Your location might change. All kinds of things are adjusting, so we have to work with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think of the illustration of a surfer.
Mm.
A surfer, their goal is to ride the waves.
Yeah.
but they have to acknowledge what the weather's like that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the actual size of the waves are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a ton of factors, the balance,
yeah.
a ton of factors go into them being able to do what they're planning on doing. So they have to have this ability to observe what's going on
yeah.
and adjust accordingly.
Well, and that's the thing with surfers. A lot of times you'll see them out just sitting
mm-hmm.
and
for a minute,
they'll let a bunch of waves pass
because mm-hmm.
they're looking for the right wave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our life, we have to understand that sometimes things are going to feel like they're not moving anywhere,
mm-hmm.
but you're constantly adjusting, you're moving, you're swerving, and you're figuring out, okay, now is the time. You know, people
timing.
Talk about,
yeah.
this is the time to strike, this is the time to do whatever. And that doesn't mean it's going to be all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we are to wait, and sometimes we're to jump in,
yeah,
just like a surfer does.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So being adaptable is this key principle, mm-hmm. this key character trait that we have to have. And so we're going to explore three elements of being able to become a person that is adaptable and
yeah.
is able to adjust as time goes along.
Yeah.
The first one, ironically, is picking a direction.
Pick a direction, yeah.
You can't adjust your direction if you have no direction.
Yeah, and too many men, we're so busy providing, we're so busy working, we're so busy doing, and that's good. That's who we are. But if you never think, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? What is my life all about? What does a great life look like in a week?
Right.
What does it mean to live my values out during a whole week?
Yeah.
And people say, well, I don't have time to think of that. Well, then you're not really living your life. Mm-hmm. You're surviving your life. You're not really going in a direction. You're kind of just running around in circles. It's like a hamster on the wheel. He's moving.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving a lot,
yep.
but he's not going anywhere.
Mm.
We love to watch it, but we don't want to live it. But today, a lot of people, that's how they live.
No, you're right. And what you said about goals earlier really applies to this
mm-hmm.
because like if you do not look higher,
yeah.
you will take the path of least resistance.
Yeah, that's true.
And the path of least resistance is pretty much never going to be the good path. It's
yeah.
usually going to be something yeah. that leads to regret. It's usually going to be something that leads to looking back and being like, why didn't I do more? You
yeah.
know, and we don't want you to end up in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So pick a direction. It's
yeah.
key.
Well, and in our life, you look at like in school or in sports, a lot of times the teacher who pushed us the most, the mm-hmm. coach who pushed us the most, the one who challenged us to be better, they're the ones who made a difference in our life.
Yes.
And we appreciate them now, even though at the time we may not have.
Mm.
They said, you can go farther. You can do better. And I think there's something within us that wants that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is pick that kind of for ourselves. That's part of maturity is you start picking those directions for yourself. Now, you still get help and can still get people who speak into you,
mm-hmm.
but you're still saying, I want to go this way.
Yeah.
You know, I want to build a positive legacy in my family. I want to have a great marriage. I want to be a good father. Those things don't just happen by themselves.
Right.
They happen because you're living on purpose.
Yeah. As we were discussing this, this quote came to the surface and I thought it was interesting. It says, you can only behave beyond your current standard when you look beyond your current reality.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're just obsessed with what's right in front of you, you will always do what you've always done.
Yeah.
And when you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten.
Yeah.
If you want to dive more into this topic, go back and look at episode 2 of this series,
mm-hmm.
the whole principle of choosing and acting.
Yeah.
But we just want to observe that it's relevant to this topic as well, because
yeah.
you cannot adjust if you have not chosen. When we don't pick, we give control of our lives to others.
Yeah, well, look at today. You have fad after fad going by. Like people get into this diet fad or that mm-hmm. diet fad or this, and they keep thinking this is the thing that's going to fix me
mm-hmm.
instead of maybe I need to change my actions and not
mm-hmm.
just do this one fad.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, oh, the seed oils are the bad thing. You know, when they're not exercising, they're not sleeping, they're not doing the basics. But they, oh, it's the seed oils. Well, maybe that's part of it, but it's also that maybe you consume too many calories.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not most, you know, active in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you stay up late and get up early and don't get enough sleep. Those are probably the bigger picture things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think if we're going to really get this first point down, mm-hmm. we also have to change the way that we view choice a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Most choices aren't permanent.
That's true.
There's a few that are. Like, you know, prayerfully, once you get married, you're locked in.
You're
till death do you part.
Yeah.
But outside of that, mm-hmm. most choices are better viewed as a test. Mm-hmm. A test to get feedback.
Yeah.
Feedback is a key for succeeding in any area of life. How do you know if something works if you don't actually try it?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get stuck in our mind and we mm-hmm. make this entire imaginary scenario and then we decide to take action way later.
Yeah.
And it turns out being completely different than what we expect. A better path is going ahead and saying, all right, what am I trying to learn or develop or grow? Mm-hmm. And let me make a choice and we'll see how that goes. If it goes good, you know, I'll do this. And if it goes bad, let's look at this.
Well, we want that in the business world and the sports world or anything. We look for someone with experience. Mm. When it says, you know, 2 years experience required, 5 years experience required, what they're saying is you've done this enough to where you've gotten feedback. Mm-hmm. You've seen how That's to good. Do it better. Mm-hmm. And I think we know that in the business world, but we don't think of it in our life, mm-hmm. that a lot of times we make choices just to go, okay, hey, that worked. Or it didn't work so great. Let me switch it up. Let me change it around.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about having a perfect vision whenever you make a choice. Yeah. A lot of people get really bogged down in that. Like, I got to get every minute detail exactly right.
Yeah.
Don't get too attached to that vision because it will change. Mm-hmm. It's just going to. I mean, even the gurus who talk about, like Michael Hyatt with the life plan.
Yeah.
One thing he talks about is like, go back and look at it consistently and be willing to adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
Because you might change to where even what you want is different than what it was a year ago, 2 years ago, a month ago.
Well, it's like you said, when you're 5 or 15, you say what you want to do with your life. Mm-hmm. Then you hit 25, 35, you probably have a lot more wisdom to make better choices. You're like, okay, maybe I'm not going to be an astronaut, but I could be a really good dad. Mm-hmm. I could be a guy who brings a lot of value to people in my company. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that you could do that maybe at 5 weren't even a thought to you, but at 35, you're much farther ahead than you would be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good for us to do that because then it helps us to say, okay, I'm picking a direction and now I'm here and I want to keep moving in this direction. Mm-hmm. This is the most important thing to me.
Yeah. And action is how you find out those things.
Yep.
Think of it kind of like in relationships. Dating, that's really what dating is.
Yeah.
Dating is saying, this person looks interesting to me. Let's actually go spend time with each other and let's see if we actually like each other. Because if the answer is no, you're going to find out by actually talking with them.
Yeah.
Maybe you just think they're hot and you're like, oh yeah, we're going to get married. And then you hang out with them and you have nothing in common. And you know, like they don't laugh at your jokes. You don't laugh at their jokes. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I'm definitely not feeling this.
Yeah.
You're not going to find that out by just thinking really hard.
Yeah.
You have to make a choice and then take action. And this applies to other areas of our life as well.
Well, and when you expect feedback, it means, one, it's shown that you've made the choice. You're getting the feedback so you can make another choice.
Precise.
The next choice comes. And that helps you. Companies do it. If they don't survive. Mm-hmm. But every company will tell you they have to change how they do things. What worked yesterday isn't necessarily going to work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, Kodak is a great example of that. They're the ones who invented digital cameras. Mm-hmm. But didn't recognize what they had and let other people do it. And they went out of business because they stuck with film and it cost them.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. So you have to make a choice to be able to get feedback, to be able to even know what adjustments to make.
Yeah.
You got to make decisions.
Yeah. You got to pick that direction and just say, okay, this is the way I'm going. And then if it's not the perfect decision, that's okay. You can adjust and go a different way.
Precisely. Precisely. The second thing you have to do, which I think a lot of times we neglect this, is setting up boundaries. Mm. Picture a garden. A garden will flourish in the right conditions, but it has to have boundary markers. Mm-hmm. If it's just thrown out there with grass, the weeds will destroy it. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
But those boundaries have to be defended. And in some seasons, you have to add things to this area. Some seasons, you have to take things away. Some seasons, you're going to be cutting stuff back. like motivation for a lawn, you know, we both may struggle with this area.
It's not our strong suit. We don't walk out. And of course you probably inherited it from me, but I get motivated about springtime every year that I want a good looking lawn. And I may even put out like a weed and feed one time mm-hmm. or something like that. But it gets June or July here. I live in the South. It's very hot. By the time I'm done mowing, that's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do any extra. If I water it, it'll grow. So I'm like, I don't think I want to water it, you know. And it's just, I want my lawn to look good. I just don't want to do the work mm-hmm. of what it takes to protect the lawn and help it to do better.
Yeah, I don't even have motivation in the spring. I never, there's never a time where I'm like, man, I want this yard to just look crisp.
Yeah.
But our point is the boundaries element.
Exactly.
Because you have your own lawn, you care about how it looks. Mm-hmm. And there's very specific boundary lines as to what do I have to take care of and what is not mine.
Yeah.
Imagine if every time you had to mow your lawn, there were no boundary lines.
Yeah.
So you had to mow your lawn, your neighbor's lawn, and your neighbor's neighbor's lawn. Yep. You would just never go do it. But because you have these specific boundary lines in place, you know what you have to take care of, mm-hmm. and you can do that well, especially if you care about it.
Yeah, and sometimes your boundary can help you maybe when you're not feeling it. Like, you know, if my grass isn't looking that good, but my neighbor cuts his yard, it's like, oh, I guess I better cut my yard, you know, to make it look better. It's because I have that boundary. I want the boundary to look good. And I think in our life, boundaries help us take our work, our energy, our focus, all mm-hmm. the things that we are, and we say, okay, this is the direction I want to go. This mm-hmm. is what I want to do. And when you have a good boundary in your life, what you're doing is saying, this is the choice I've made. Mm-hmm. This is the way I want to live. And this is how I'm going to protect myself or the vision that I have.
Yeah. To bring it to actual real life, everything in your life requires time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in your life requires energy.
Yeah.
That's just reality.
It's
and
true.
We're human beings. You can only stay awake so many hours of the day.
Yeah.
There's only so many hours in the day. And you only have so much energy. You are mortal. Boundaries take that into account. Mm-hmm. You have to have boundaries because if you don't choose what you want your energy to go toward and what you don't want it to go toward, anything that's easy will take the time. Anything that's apparently urgent will take the time.
Yeah.
I think of, I had a friend one time who told me that he was very proud that he got his TikTok time to be under 2 hours. Like that's what he set his screen limit for.
Yeah.
And I was like, 2 hours is good? You know?
Yeah.
And that's not to insult him. That's just to say like, if you don't have that sense of direction, a company that can give you little entertainment candy
mm-hmm.
will end up taking all your time and you won't end up living the life you want to live.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like with the TikTok or Instagram or whatever, how many of us have gotten on there for just a second? Oh, I got a message from someone. In fact, I did that this morning. I got a message, I think, from your sister. And I looked at, and then all of a sudden I found myself scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
And like 15 minutes goes by and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I was doing something else.
Yep.
It can get you off task
uh-huh.
if you don't have that, okay, this is not the time to do that.
And we want to change your perspective on boundaries because a lot of times we think of boundaries as, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like this. I'm not going to be like that.
Yeah.
And yes, you have to say no to things, but the purpose is to say yes to the right things.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you used to do D&D on a Monday night,
mm-hmm.
and that's been your tradition ever since college. That's what you've been into. But now you have a spouse, you have young kids, and you think to yourself, I don't get enough time with them.
Yeah.
You know, by the time I get home in the evenings, it's 7 p.m., my kids go to bed at 8 p.m., I need more time with them. My Sunday nights, I'm going to set D&D to the side now so that I can have that time. You're not just saying no to D&D. You don't hate D&D, but you want your time with your kids more. Or a health example,
mm-hmm.
sodas. If you've got a big issue with sodas, setting that to the side is not just saying I hate sodas. You don't.
Yeah.
You're saying I want to have, let's say, better blood sugar
mm-hmm.
or I want mm-hmm. to have a future without diabetes or
yeah.
I want to just feel better because I'm not dependent on caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying yes to something, not just no.
Well, and that's the thing we want to look at. When you say yes to something, yes, you're setting a boundary, but you're doing it in a positive direction, saying this is where I want to put my energy.
Precisely.
And it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Like, let's say you choose, I'm not going to drink sodas. But you do. You go to the movie, you get a soda. Well, that's not the end of the world.
No.
Because overall, your lifestyle has changed to that. And it's not that sodas are bad.
No.
But you've just chosen, I want to focus on this important area. You know, like healthy eating. If I want to eat healthy and you adopt maybe an 80-20, 90-10, that makes life much more enjoyable because you like the feeling you get from eating healthy more than just eating junk food all the time. And that's what boundaries do. It helps you take that energy and focus it. This is where I want it to go. Mm-hmm. This is like when you pick a spouse. Mm-hmm. This is the person I'm going to pour my energy into.
Yes.
And I'm not going to, you know, keep dating around because that could be a problem.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. To put it in manly terms, it's almost like building walls around an area that you want to protect and then defending that area.
Yeah.
You are defending it from something, not because, you know, well, it's really just because you want that area to be safe.
Yeah.
You want that area to be peaceful, whether that's your family, whether that's your peace, whether that's your religious life, you know, whatever that may be, boundaries help. The second big benefit of boundaries, though, is a lot of times boundaries end up helping you make the decision before the decision comes.
Yeah, that's true.
So, for example, let's take one from my life. I have a big sweet tooth. I love sweets. There's no part of me that, like, I was the kid who cut out the cake and ate all the icing at once.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as too much sweets for me. I'm passionate about sweets. I love it. However, I want to live a life where I'm healthy and I care about that. So we don't have sweets in our house very often.
Yeah.
We do in moderation. Mm-hmm. Or we do seasonally, like Easter just got finished not too long ago.
Yeah.
And during that season, we had a bunch of Cadbury eggs around the house. We're on our last bag now, praise God, because I can't say no to them. But me choosing not to buy that thing and put it in the house is much easier to do than to buy it, put it in the house, and then try and say no when it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and that's what we do is we put those things in the house and those things call to us. You know, especially if you're just sitting there watching TV, not doing anything, bored, your mind goes to, hey, those Cadbury eggs, they're lonely.
They just want, they need me.
And I just need to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get rid of them by eating them all.
All right now.
But if they're not in the house and you think, well, I'd have to go to the store, I'd have to buy. A lot of times you're like, I'm just not going to mess with it.
Yeah, because it'd be a pain. Decision.
Yeah, it'd be a pain. And so what you've done is you've made the decision easier. Like, you know, I heard a guy say that he sets out his workout clothes the night before because that decision's already made when he gets up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go work out. And I think when you do those things, you're setting yourself up for success.
Precisely.
And it's not that you're a loser. You just know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I make it easier for me, I'm going to make the better decision. If I have, like, I like sparkling water now. I used to hate it, but now I love it. So I have it with me because it's easier for me to grab one of those than to go grab a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that same feeling, but it's a much better drink for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for me to have those than to have something else around.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we're starting to get up there in time. So we do want to point out one last thing of boundaries. They protect you from yourself.
Yeah.
I love what you said earlier. You know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for example, setting a boundary for when you stop working will help you if you're a workaholic.
Yep.
If you've got problems with overwork, maybe picking a certain time in the day or picking a certain routine at that time helps you mentally disengage. It protects you from yourself. If you're a perfectionist, maybe having a small list of goals instead of a limitless list of goals will help you really focus your energy and desire for excellence instead of letting it consume you.
Yeah.
You're protecting yourself from yourself.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. You want to learn yourself so you can set those boundaries. So you can say, okay, I'm oftentimes a little weak in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So let me do this to strengthen it. Or, hey, I'm pretty good in this area. Let me put more energy into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really engage when I'm doing this. Boundaries, like you said, they're not always negative. A lot of them are good because you're saying, this is where I want my energy to go.
Precisely.
And when it's yourself, that's an important thing to make, because what you're doing is you're becoming, like we say, the main character of your own life, mm-hmm. and you're choosing your direction.
Yeah, because the truth is, doing the right thing that you won't regret mm-hmm. will always be more difficult than doing what you will regret.
It's true.
That's just an unfortunate truth of living in a simple world.
Yep.
The correct path will always take more effort, more intentionality, more work, more sacrifice than the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
It just will.
It will.
And every time. You make decisions mm-hmm. to be able to have something to adjust.
Yeah.
And you set boundaries so that the wrong things don't take priority over your life. Mm-hmm. The third element is the actual making adjustments part.
Yeah.
It's making what we call micro adjustments. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get so into, like you said earlier, transforming everything overnight.
Yeah.
We forget, like, picking something and then doing very small tweaks as time goes along mm-hmm. really builds up over time and benefits you over time.
Yeah. Well, it's like if you're, you know, in your 40s, you're not trying to live the plan you wrote for yourself at 15.
That would be dumb.
Yeah. Because hopefully you've gotten a lot smarter. Now, although I know some 40-year-olds who aren't, but we're not here to talk about that today. You know, as you mature, you realize a little more what's important in life than your 15-year-old self knew. Mm-hmm. So you make those adjustments. It's like airplanes. When an airplane is flying from Los Angeles to Seoul, Korea, mm-hmm. it's going to make micro adjustments along the way. It doesn't just say, okay, my plane's going the right direction. You know, there's altitude, wind speed. There's all these things that can change the way your plane is going. And if you get off 1 degree, you could end up a whole different place. Mm-hmm. So planes always have to make those micro adjustments to get to where they're going. And the same thing's for us. We want to learn that, hey, making adjustments, that's normal.
Yeah.
That's just a part of life.
Yeah. One big value I have for myself, and I think this is more universal, I think mm-hmm. everybody needs to do this, is be a lifetime learner. Mm-hmm. You never have it all figured out, and you have to learn to be okay with that. But when you're a lifetime learner, you're open to correction.
Yeah.
You're open to adjusting. You're open to being like, ooh, that did not work the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
Let's adjust this right here, move mm-hmm. that over there. Mm-hmm. Let's do a round two.
Yeah.
A lifetime learner is willing to do that, whether they're 15, whether they're 35, whether they're 55, or whether they're 85.
Yeah.
You know, they're willing to do that for a lifetime. And that's a huge benefit, because even if you get a rude awakening, mm-hmm. a rude awakening will slap you in the face and set you free at the same time.
Yeah.
It's better to know a hard truth mm-hmm. than to live in an easy lie.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, what they do is, they kind of live in this bubble that they create for themselves mm-hmm. where they're not getting the truth. They're not really examining their life. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of going from thing to thing, or they're working hard all day. They're coming home and binge watching and just kind of ignoring a lot of those choices mm-hmm. until the choices kind of slap them upside the face. And what we're saying is, make the choices early, mm-hmm. make the choices first, and then you'll actually enjoy your life a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And you're not just going to run away from it. You're willing to get in there and say, okay, hey, that didn't work out too good. Let's try this. Let mm-hmm. me do that.
Yeah, and there are things that you will try that just get scrapped. Mm-hmm. You're like, I wanted to pick up a foreign language, but I really don't need it. It takes way too much time, and I don't enjoy it. Throw it out.
Yep.
That can happen. But more often, you're going to be making small adjustments to these core areas of your life. And that's why we use the word micro adjustments. Mm-hmm. Don't try and change everything at once overnight. Yeah. You are setting yourself up for frustration, for unrealistic expectations, and for beating yourself up in the long run. Let's pick an area, a max of 2 or 3, and do a test and observe and learn and adjust, and then repeat that process until you're in a pretty decent area, mm-hmm. and then move on to the next 2 or 3 and then work through those.
Well, that's why a lot of guys, the first of the year, they set the health goals. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to lose 1,000 pounds, I'm going to get buff and all this. And they try to do it within the next month. Instead of just saying, okay, let me work on just getting more physical movement into my life. Let me just walk 3 days a week and maybe listen to a book at the same time. Because they see that as, well, that's not that much. That is a micro adjustment. And it's easier to make that a habit than to, I'm going to rework everything. I'm going to order all this expensive gym equipment. I'm going to do all this when you've not even built up the habit. So then it just sits there until one day you sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like with finances, the exponential growth curve.
Yep.
It starts looking like this and it's not impressive. It's just a very light lift. And then it goes higher and higher and higher until eventually you look up and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see how much you've grown.
I'm different.
Yeah.
So overall, you will not be perfect.
No.
You should not expect to be. But it's the classic phrase, if you don't try, you won't know.
Mm-hmm.
You won't know if you won't try.
Yeah.
Like if you don't get out there and do something, you won't even know what adjustments need to be made.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're committing to the process.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The process is the key. It's not that you're ever going to reach this finish line of perfection. None of us will.
No.
But it's are you moving in the right direction? Are you doing the things to make sure that next year you're ahead of where you are this year?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a little bit ahead, you're ahead. And that's what we want to do, make those adjustments that keep us moving in the right direction.
Yeah. So you don't cross that finish line.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to remember, because sometimes we can get that destination fever.
We can.
And be like, I got to get there so that, and this is what's funny, so that I can do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
One day I'll be able to get there and I can just sit down and relax. You'd be like Thanos in Infinity Wars, where he's like, I'm going to do this. And then one day I can sit down and watch the sunrise in a grateful universe.
Yeah.
And at the end he succeeds and he sits down and he's just watching the sun. And it's like, what's he going to do the next day?
I know.
Like, what do you do?
What do you do?
Getting to the destination isn't even going to be that fun.
Yeah.
Let's start falling in love with and enjoying the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how they can start the process.
Yeah.
How we can start the process.
Yeah.
Let's talk about application.
Yeah, I would say the first thing you want to do is quit waiting for perfection to hit your life. Just pick a direction. What are the core four or five things that you value the most in life? What's important to you? And then you want to look at what lifestyle supports those values. And that's really a good first place to look. Because then your schedule is easier to make a decision in because you've picked your values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife, my children, my job, depending on what stage of life you are, maybe getting a job, maybe getting a wife, you know, wherever you're at, what are your values in that moment? Who are you as a person? And start picking your schedule, your time, the things you do. Decide how you're going to live that out. And then you pick the direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first step. Because until you pick a direction, you're just surviving. And mm-hmm. and you're just going to make it, but not really go anywhere.
I love that you talked about them getting in that level of detail, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's like very easy to say, I want to be a good dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, what does that actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that look like? What does being a good dad look like?
Yeah.
Maybe you say, I want to get to the house at 4:30
mm-hmm.
and I want to play with my kids for an hour.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to go outside with my kids. I want to throw the football. I want to play with their Legos or play with their Barbies or whatever that they're into. I want to do that for an hour, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Or every day. You know, those are the kind of things that you can wrestle with. And then once you've done that, you have something you can work with and start setting boundaries and adjusting.
And it doesn't have to be perfection. You know, they've done studies where just a family sitting down and eating together, even if they do nothing else special, does so much for the connection of a family.
I believe that.
Just sitting around a table and eating at night and talking. And it's one of those things. We think it always has to be so complicated, and it doesn't. It's just that I like being with my family. That's a value to me. So we're going to make sure that, like you said, we're going to sit down and eat three nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to eat out. We're going to cook a meal and be together. That's implementing a value into your life in the everyday, and that makes sure it happens.
Exactly. So you get into that clarity of having picked a direction.
Yeah.
Two, you've got to pick a boundary. You've got to defend that time, because inevitably, the moment you say, I'm going to get home at 4:30 and play with my kids for a half hour, work's going to have something that pops up.
Yeah.
Chores are going to pop up. There are going to be things that are going to pop up and try and take that time.
Yeah.
That's just how our world works. But you got to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to push those things back and say, yes, I need to adjust that toilet. It can wait.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I need to do this thing at work. I'd rather come in 30 minutes early tomorrow because my kids aren't even going to be up at that time anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you can start to begin to get creative with your boundaries. There's a great book about this too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to say, I love what you said about creativity, because that's the thing. When you've picked a boundary, then you can get more creative about how to make sure that boundary stays in place.
Precisely.
And the book he's talking about, Henry Cloud, John Townsend wrote a book called Boundaries. Henry even has a website, boundaries.me. And it's a good place for you to begin that process of growth of, okay, where do I put my boundaries? What is a boundary? What does it look like in my life? Easy things you can do, simple to understand. It's not very complicated, but you can start doing it just today and really bring those values of your life out through it.
Yeah, because that book's like probably $10 or $15.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a crazy investment,
no.
But it will change your life.
It will.
If that is a problem that you struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, you may be somebody that has no problem saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats. But if you're somebody that's a little bit of a recovering people pleaser.
Yeah, people pleaser.
You want to be liked.
Yeah.
It's a good way to learn that saying no is not always wrong.
Yeah.
The final thing is to embrace the fact that you will make adjustments and embrace this idea that you need to make improvements.
Yeah. I think what it is have a plan, implement the plan, and then see. You know, maybe do it for a short time frame.
Yeah.
You know, if like I want to start a new habit of walking 3 days a week. So for the next 3 months, I'm going to plan to walk 3 days a week. At the end of 3 months, you look back and say, did I walk it?
Mm-hmm.
Did I not? Why? What was up? Maybe I picked the wrong days. Maybe walking is not a good thing for me.
Or the time isn't a good time. Like
if
you're not a morning person, like you hate everyone until 10 a.m.,
yeah.
Maybe that's not the time to wake up extra early and go walking.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn those things when you've actually committed to a process and you have a set date that you're going to come back and look at it.
Yeah, because that way you can see, why did it work or why didn't it work? It's not just I'm a failure. It could be that, oh, I tried to do this in the middle of winter when it was, you know, 0 degrees outside. I'm not going walking in 0 degree outside.
Yeah.
So you think, okay, wait a minute. Let me try and do this when it's better weather.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things where instead of beating yourself up and just, I'm a failure.
I guess I'm terrible.
I blew it.
Yeah.
You look at what are the circumstances? Why did I not do it? And that could help you learn how to grow and how to bring maybe some of that seasonality to the areas you grow in. Maybe this is a good season to grow. Maybe this is a good season to maintain my current boundaries and not try to add a new one.
Yeah. And we also, to emphasize what we said earlier, understand that change isn't always better.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times we love a world where everything's new, everything's different. Sometimes you've got stuff that's just cranking out well.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you and your wife are in a great spot
or
your health is in a good spot.
Yeah.
It's okay to not make adjustments to that area right now.
Yeah.
You can go work on other areas of your life. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't want you to feel pressured that like, well, now I got to go through this process with every single area of my life right now. Change. It's about being like that surfer, getting to the point to where you're riding the wave well. In every area of your life.
Yeah.
And so there's some areas where you're doing good and that's okay. That's not wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's like in the business world, there was the story of Coke and New Coke. You know, in the 80s, Coca-Cola decided to come out with New Coke and it was this huge thing. They spent millions of dollars on it to come out with a new formula that they said was better. Well, nobody wanted it. It was one of the biggest bombs in business history to the point that people still talk about it today. They had a good thing going. They should have just stuck with that, but they thought new was going to be better. Same thing for you. Some things you don't need new. You just need to keep working what you already have in place. So be willing to own that. You don't have to change. You only want to change if it's the right time, the right way, the right direction.
Exactly. And you don't pick everything at once.
Yeah.
Pick 1 to 3 things, preferably 2 or less.
Yeah.
Just because you're a human being and we get it. Everybody's busy. So if you try and do 7 things at once, it's not going to happen. So 1 to 3 areas is going to be kind of a safe amount to pick and to be able to run those experiments and make those adjustments.
Yeah.
If you struggle with that, if that's something that you are already like, you already feel overwhelmed with what we just said, mm-hmm. we do on our website offer an option for coaching. We have 4 sessions available or even 1 session.
Yeah.
If you want to sit down with us and we can help you make that plan for yourself and run that plan, the coaching sessions are not time sensitive.
No.
So you could pick doing 1 session with us up front and then 1 session when evaluation time comes around.
Yeah.
That's some added accountability. That's some outside perspective that can help you go to the next level. The reason we do all of this is to be able to help you guys. So check out thrivingman.com if you want to look at our blog, look at all of the resources that we have available,
yeah.
both paid and free. And we will see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Thriving Man podcast. If you want to check out more resources from David and Reese, you can go to thrivingman.com. We'll see you in the next episode.